We have understandings to load and cell phones to turn off. Thank you, Mary. I will take that recommendation right this second. Typically, we don't require people to turn their cell phones off anymore, Mark, because it was such a waste of time. So what we do is we allow them to make a $20 contribution to the children's home in Ukraine if it goes off. All right, so if you do have a cell phone or a pager and you're not on medical alert for some reason, please turn it off. I want to invite you to move toward the little continental breakfast thing in the coffee pot as we go throughout the morning as you have need. We'll be taking a break here somewhere in the next 6 hours so you can go to the bathroom or stretch yourself, whatever. We're already fully aware that reason will not help us today, correct? So what we need is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That comes from a very specific source, God the Holy Spirit. So let us ask together that he would be with us and open the eyes of our understanding that we might comprehend. All right? Father, we grant to you all praise and honor. We magnify your name. We are your children. You have made us. You're the Father of our spirits. We are the sons of God. I bless you for that. And today, Lord, we are looking for freedom, for it was for freedom that Christ came to set us free. And so we invite you, God, the Holy Spirit, to be here because you bring liberty. And what we're looking for today is liberty. We want to walk away from here free, free in the Holy Spirit. We welcome the ministering angels, Lord. We welcome the prophetic words of knowledge today. We open our heart to the understanding of God and ask, Lord, that you would put so much in our spirit. It'll take our minds months to get their arms around it. Let us be fed in our inner man. We bless Brother Mark for being here. We thank you so much, God, for his diligence in pursuing your desires over his life. And we get to feed freely from the bounty of his Spirit. And so we welcome you to come and be Jesus among us today. And let us know your presence in a tangible way. For we offer you our praise, our adoration, and our very lives to the glory of Christ our God. Amen. Would you welcome our brother Mark Berkland?
And thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, good morning. Are you ready for a fun day? Hallelujah. A demon-chasing party. Glory to God. Woo! So much fun. Amen. Well, we're going to start with a little review from last night, and then we'll jump right into the morning. This morning, we said a healed heart is a heart full of what three things? Faith, hope, and love. An unhealed heart has what in it? An opposite of faith, hope, and love. That's pretty simple. Amen. The language that heals the heart is the language of the heart. And the language of the heart, the language of the mind we define as what? Analytical, unanointed reasoning. Let's say it together. Analytical, unanointed reason. The language of the heart would be what? Flow, spontaneity, imagination, pictures, dreams, emotions, and pondering and meditation. So during the day, as we're in prayer, we're going to be tuned to flowing pictures, flowing thoughts, flowing emotions, and that's the way we pray. All right? Very different from what I was taught in the Western world, but that's what works. That's what gets a person set free. Now, what we're getting set free of is a blob of negative energy in our hearts, which is probably a what? A demon, which has several contributing strands feeding negative energy into this blob, which first contributing strand, we didn't cover these too much, but first contributing, they were in the back of the front cover now, all right, just for those of you who want to review, this is what we're going to do today. Generational sins and curses is the first strand. The second strand would be an ungodly soul tie. The third strand would be a negative expectations. The fourth strand is inner vows. Fifth strand is traumatic pictures. And the sixth strand is word curses. Turn that to six, not seven, folks. Little typo there. And the seventh strand, the final blob of negative energy, would be a demon. There's actually a demon. So we're removing the negative energy and replacing it with the positive energy of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And once we get these, we're going to do all seven prayers today. That's today's is that. Once we get them cast out, we want to make sure to keep them out. Amen? Which means we've got to put up a wall of defense so that we don't participate in the same sin that sucked them in the first place. Because can we suck them back? Yes. And if they come back, the Bible says they come back with seven worse than before. So if you want to really be wrecked up big time, then do the seminar today, get the demons cast out, and do not do a concordance study afterwards to seal off the door. And then we'll be sure in a couple of months that you will be a total basket case. Yippee. Hallelujah. How many say, I will do a follow-up concordance Bible study? Say it. Amen. Because I want you to stay free. Amen. I want you to stay free. And the Bible is crystal clear. If we do not fill the empty spot with divine positive, we will suck them back. And no one here needs to have their life devastated. Amen? So please make a commitment saying, I know we live in America, we want instant. I went to a seminar and I'm totally set free and I'm chugging along. But how many of you know Christianity is a little bit more than instant stuff, all right? It's a process. So say, I will commit myself to the process. I will get into the Word. I will pray over these verses. I will receive revelation knowledge. I will let God change my behavior so that I have a strong wall of defense. And I do not receive the demons back. Amen. Amen. Thank you for doing that, all right? When people come to me for counseling, I do make them agree and promise they will do a follow-up one-month Bible study. All right, and if they will not promise that to me, then I will not take them in as a counselee because I don't want to mess them up. Fair enough? So I'll do my part, but you have to do yours. Okay. All right, so that's all we covered last night. So if you missed last night, that's all you missed. It's all done. Oh, that was exciting. Anybody? That's a gift of condensation. All right, it's the 10th gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, now... if you go to the bottom of page 6, there was one last paragraph there that I didn't cover, and I probably should have covered, so I'll just let you see that it's there, and then we'll just press right on to page 8 or wherever we start with this morning. But this is the last thing that I forgot to mention to you last night. Bottom paragraph, page 6, additional therapies which I think are extremely important to overall health. Because our body, soul, and spirit, how many of you know the body, soul, and spirit is actually an organic union? I mean, it's one entity, amen? Amen? So you can't just fix up one part and leave the two parts laying there, okay? So let's fix up all the parts. An excellent diet affects who we are to a great extent. So does proper exercise, adequate rest, reducing stress chemically, environmentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and utilizing of natural health therapies is all part of it. And then our book, Go Natural, will go into all of those things. So I encourage everyone, now again, we're really totally stepping on toes here, so say, I'm going to love him no matter what he says. Okay, so what I do want you to, how many of you know if you eat junk food, you feel really ugly? You know, and if you don't exercise, you know, then you just got to drink coffee till it comes out your ears so you can be awake, you know. But if you exercise, the exercise produces endorphins, so your body, they're screaming around down there and saying, we're happy, you know, and your life is okay. So I know we're in America, and this is all nasty stuff to Americans, but you know what? I would rather live and not die. I would rather go into old age vibrantly alive. When I was 40, I went for my first and only physical because what they did was so gross, I didn't want to go back, actually, you know. I thought, people do this, huh? I don't know if I want to, so I didn't, you know, but... He did tell me I was in maximum risk for coronary attack. I had cholesterol of 276. I had triglycerides of 300. That meant I had a 500% greater chance of having a heart attack than the average American, which has a 50% chance of dying of heart attack. He said you'll be dead in 5 years. Well, I would have been had I not changed my life. But I read 100 books on health care. I wrote 3 of my own. And the following year, I read another 100 books on health care. So I learned a lot. And my cholesterol, I lowered 100 points in 4 weeks with fiber, okay? My triglycerides, just drink 7 or 8 glasses of water a day, and triglycerides, right back down, okay? And you know, at 40, I had arthritis in my knuckles and in my knees. I had low energy. I would flop down at 5 o'clock, totally exhausted, and just eat potato chips and drink pop until I waddled off to bed. You know, that was my life at age 40. Zero energy. And I said, my life is over. I'm 40 years of age. My life is over. And I would eat tons of food, but I always felt low energy. And I said, I'm not getting nutrition out of this food, you know. So I've changed everything. Okay, right now I have no arthritis. I'm on no medication. I have no arthritis anyway. It was just a result of my hatred and anger and a few demons, all right? Because I was really bitter at a bunch of people, you know. And when you're angry, you know, that one of the things, it dumps toxins in the joints. And so I had a lot of toxins in my joints. And when I repented of my bitterness, the toxins went away. And within a day or two, I could feel the release of pain, all right? And I have no arthritis at all today. Now, that's not the only thing that causes arthritis. That's one thing, okay? A lousy diet can surely contribute to arthritis. The American diet can contribute greatly to arthritis, okay? The Genesis diet, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 and 29, will heal the body, okay? Simple as that. The first diet God gave us when he created us is probably the healthiest diet on the planet. So I've switched to that diet as my primary diet. And I feel great energy. I've got my, plus I take, you know, I do a bunch of things. Now what we're going to do, since I do feel this is pretty important stuff and don't preach on it too much, in our newsletter, we have a newsletter that goes out once a month. It's free. It's an email newsletter. I'm going to pass around a sheet in a moment and let you sign up for it if you want to. And in 2 or 3 months from now, I'm going to do a whole newsletter on natural approaches to healthcare. And I'm going to tell what I do and why I do it and have some people share testimonies. I mean, I know people who have been healed of cancer through simply changing their diet and doing colon cleanses and juicing. Alice Michelson, she's one of our certified teachers for the Communion of God course. She had a cancer that was going to kill her in 6 months, and this was several years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And she did the diet, the Genesis diet. She did juicing and she did the colon cleanses. And doctor was furious because she didn't do anything. He said, you know, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. And her cancer is all gone into remission. And you know, amen. You know. So these are extremely powerful, but I've got to do things different from what the Western world does. And so I have chosen to do that. I was fascinated at what I learned. You know, I learned to lower my cholesterol 100 points in 4 weeks, and I've shared it with other people, and they've done it too, with no medication. How many think it's nice to know how to do that? You know, I wish my doctor knew that and could tell me. You know, you can take 100 points off your cholesterol with no medication, because how many know most medications have side effects? Now, God's medication is called herbs. All right, God gave herbs for the service of mankind. That's what the book says in the book of Psalms. So I take herbs. I go to a naturopath once a month, and they test me, do muscle testing, test me, and provide some homeopathic remedies to keep my system in balance. All right, so it's your tune-up every month. So I stay in balance so I don't get sick, all right, which is what I like, all right? So, but I'm glad to know all that, and I guess I've realized a lot of people don't know that. I didn't know there was even a difference between naturopathic medicine and allopathic medicine. I had no idea. Those words were not in my vocabulary. I didn't understand the difference, and now I do. And I've chosen the naturopathic route, and my health is totally restored, okay? So I'm going to do a newsletter on it in a few weeks, in a few months, a couple of months from now, put a bunch of testimonies in from people. And every month our newsletter tells about new things that we're doing. So if you want to get a free email newsletter, pass that back and just put your email. We'll do a one on both sides. If you're not already receiving it, just go ahead and put your email address on there. It comes out by email is what it does. So I just wanted to preach to you about diet and exercise, okay? And everybody said, amen. Why not? Amen. Okay. So that finishes up last night. Is there anything you want to ask or say about last night or what we've said so far? If not, we're jumping right into the 7 prayers here this morning. But I will take a chance for a question if you have it. Okay. So here we go. We're on page 8 then this morning. This is where we officially begin. Page 8. Exploring possible roots of sin energies or demonic energies within us. And those are the 7 possible roots. We're going to start with number 1, which is generational sins and curses can pass energy, sin energy, negative energy down through the family line. So what you're experiencing in your life may have begun with your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. It could have started 500 years ago, for all we know. All right, Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6 says, and you can jot this down if you want to write this down, visiting the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generations. That verse says, God says, He visits the iniquities of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation. So a bunch of the stuff that's in us, the Bible is very clear to say, did not begin with us. It began back a few generations ago. And we're going to need to pray and break that and remove that flow of negative energy into us. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 says, you can jot this down, sexual sin has an effect to 10 generations. Not 3 or 4, but 10. Sexual sin has an effect for 10 generations. That's 2,000 people in your ancestral line. There's a pretty good chance there's at least one pervert in those 2,000 people, which means there's a pretty good chance you got some messed up sexual stuff going on, all right, and need some prayer for healing there. Now, the next verse is very positive. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, and jot this down, the blessings of obedience go for 1,000 generations. The blessings of obedience is for 1,000 generations. Say hallelujah. How many know? Okay, the blessings of obedience go for 1,000 generations. How many know that makes it clear why America is so blessed? We were built on religious, fervent groups seeking religious freedom, and that is our DNA. That's our foundation. We're 200 years into that, all right? And we're the only existing superpower in the world today. It's not a coincidence, I don't believe. It's because stuff's being passed on down through, and we've got a good, solid foundation from our heritage. So I'm very thankful to live in America. I'm very thankful for my parents, all right, who passed on to me a passion for God. Okay, my father's ran a home Bible study group for 25 years of his life. My grandfather was a minister in our church, and I'm sure if I go back further generations that there's many, many more ministers. So I started with a great foundation. How many think that helps? To start with that being poured into my DNA rather than crack cocaine or something like that, all right? So I thank God for a wonderful foundation. Okay, so next question is, what is not passed through the family line? We'll read a verse here. What mean ye when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, in other words, the fathers sinned, and the children's teeth were set on edge, and that sin had an effect on the kids. As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have any occasion to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as also the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul that, what? Sinneth, it shall die. He's saying from this point on, everyone's going to die and be guilty and die for their own personal sin, not for the sins of their fathers. I do not go to hell and die spiritually because of my father's sin. Okay, so what I'm understanding that to say, if you want to jot something down, is that the guilt of sin is not passed down. The guilt of sin. I am not guilty for my father's sin. The guilt of sin is not passed down. I do not go to hell for my father's sin. If I live in sin, I may go to hell for that, but not for my father's sin. So the guilt of sin is not passed down. If you want to jot down something else, I would say this, but the effects are. But the effects are. All right? Okay, I'm not guilty for his sin, but there's an energy within me because of his sin. That energy got passed to me. There's an energy, a predisposition within me to do that sin. Now, I'm not guilty for his sin, but if I honor that predisposition and go ahead and sin in the area, then I'm guilty for my own sin. So I think the effects, the energy is passed down, but the guilt is not passed down. If that distinction is clear, would you say amen? Okay. So the effects are, if you're on crack cocaine and you have a child, the effects are going to be passed down. The kid will be born addicted. The effects are passed down. The kid isn't guilty for your sin, but he's affected by your sin. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. So, next paragraph. Obviously, one of the first questions we want to ask when you're struggling with the energy or pressure towards a sin within you is, who in my ancestral line had the same trait? In four generations, you got 30 ancestors, and 10, you have 2,000. The chance that almost any sin, especially sexual sin, is present in 30 or 2,000 is almost a given. So you'll want to begin your attack on the problem you're facing by cutting off the forces that are being passed down to the family tree. What can be passed to the family tree, the family line? We're going to say anything. If you want to jot down anything, I think that's the right answer. Basically, anything can be passed through the family line. Alcoholism would be an example. All kinds of addiction, all kinds of physical ailments and sicknesses, all kinds of emotional and mental problems, besetting sins, as well as all types of spiritual blessings, anointings, and giftings, they all are coming down through the family line from your parents and grandparents. Now, for example, in my own life, I had a susceptibility to colds for maybe 20, 25 years of my life. I would have a cold 3/4 of every winter and half of every summer. I'd get over it, and within a week, I got it again. All right. And as a public speaker, that's a real pain. All right. And so a lady in our Bible school in Buffalo was doing a paper entitled Receiving a Word of Wisdom and a Word of Knowledge to Heal Chronic Sickness. And she was looking for a half a dozen guinea pigs who were chronically sick, and she would ask God for a word of knowledge. So she asked if I wanted to be one. I said, sure. Because I had this chronic cold, you know. And so she went and got a word of wisdom, came back about 2 weeks later and said, the Lord told me that there was a curse on you, and that's why you have this cold. Curse on your family is what she said. I said, really? And she said, yeah, well, that's what I got. I said, okay. So I'm driving home from Bible school that night, and I just say, I break this curse that's on my chest, on my lungs. In the name of Jesus, I break it, and I command it to leave right now. And I actually felt something lift off my chest, all right? And my entire susceptibility to colds went away right then, okay? Just amazing, absolutely astounding, all right? And then about 10 or 15 years later, I found out where the curse came from. I found out something I did not know. My grandfather on my mom's side was a Mason. Now, if you know anything about Masons, they have, you know, private, they have curses. They have things that they've made a vow not to share, you know, secrets. And if they would share those secrets, they have spoken a bunch of word curses over this entire region, you know. May my, you know, chest, may my heart be plucked out, and may the ravens eat it, and may my intestines rot, you know. And they go right down through the entire region speaking word curses on this entire area. Now, if I look at my mother and her children, they've all got problems through the whole region, all right? My mom had voice problems during one period of her growing up, her years growing up. She couldn't even speak. She was a voice therapist and couldn't speak for about a month. It was a great period because she was a shouter, you know? And boy, just no speech. I love you, Mom. Forgive you and release you and bless you. But, you know, so anyway, my brother had open heart surgery when he was about 20. My sister had a cyst and a growth right in here, all right? And I can go through all of my six brothers and sisters. They all have problems right through this region. Well, I don't, all right, because I broke the curse. And I suggested that they all break the curse, and that didn't go over very well. When I suggested that to my mom, she said, my dad was a good man. And my brother, who is a trained psychiatrist, he wrote me back and said, don't you dare suggest anything evil like that. You can get sued for suggesting stuff like that. I said, fine. Whatever, it is your life. You know, I'm not here to be your mom or dad, or I'm all telling you what I found. So I backed away, because I don't think you can force anything down anybody's throat. You know, well, so my brother's back in, and my mother's back in for surgery again. I mean, she had surgery for the second time on her heart, all right? My brother went back in and had surgery the second time on his heart. And, of course, the surgeon messed up, and so they had to go back and do surgery again to fix up the mess, you know, and so... But you know what? They've all gotten open to this in the last year. You get enough pain in your life, and you say, maybe my young brother isn't quite as dumb as I thought he was, you know. So my brother has now prayed through. The one who was going to tell me I was going to be sued, he's prayed through breaking all the curses. You can type in Masonic prayers that break Masonic curses. You can do that at Google and get the prayers. All right. And so I emailed him down to him, and he's prayed and broke those, you know. And Mom has too. She read a book that I loaned her this summer, and she's prayed and broke them all too. Unfortunately, they both lived an extra 15 years of the curse weighing on them. And 15 years of a curse weighing on you damages and devastates your health, and you don't snap out of it instantaneously necessarily after you've had it, after you're that damaged. And they're both quite damaged right now. So, you know, we want to pray and break curses. Personal application is what we're going to do right now, is let you pray and break curses. First question is, the heart issue being explored today is, and we're asking a question, Holy Spirit, what's on my heart that you would like to heal today? And hopefully you all went home, prayed about this, and you got a word from the Lord last night or this morning. Maybe one of those different areas that is the area that you're going to work on today. So I'd like you to write something on that line, three or four words, that is the area that you're going to work on today. And it can be one of those clusters, or you can mix and match some words from different clusters. But just say, Holy Spirit, what do you... Let's say this together. Holy Spirit, what do you want to work on today in my life? Just speak that to me right now. Attune to flowing thoughts and just write down the two or three words that come to you, and that'll be the issue that we'll spend the whole day, you'll spend the whole day working on. As you are praying and pondering and writing, I would like to have a little bit of interaction with you. Some of you are wondering exactly what to write down, and I would like to help you nail down what to write down, because if you get something good and solid here right now, your whole day will be much more effective than if you get something that's not quite right. So I'd like to help you get something that is exactly right for you. So if you're not sure what to write down, you've written out a couple of things and you want to bounce it off me and say, hey, is this a good set of two or three words or whatever, feel free to raise your hand and just bounce it off me right now, and I will say, yeah, that's good, or maybe I'll make a suggestion and say, hey, how about this instead, all right? So if anybody is wondering about what they've got written down, would like to bounce it off for me, just go ahead. What do you have? Yes. Your wife said what? Rebellion. Well, your wife is the same as the Lord, praise God. So those two voices are one, all right? <Did you? laughs> So I'd say rebellion sounds fine with me. That works. Okay. Does your heart bear witness that there maybe could be a little bit of pride and rebellion in there, and then pushiness and orneriness, or a little bit, just not that much, just a very little bit. Yeah, okay. Understand that? Okay. What's that? Yeah, I might just want to clean it out while we're here, you know. Not that big of an issue. Just the number one sin in the Bible and the heart of Satan, okay? But praise. And you know, it's a really hard one to see, too. Because, you know, it is hard to see. And a lot of times people close to us can see it better than we can. So I would definitely honor that. And I would throw with rebellion, I'd put in whatever words go along with it. Pride, you know, rebellion, and whatever else might be there. You know, and get two or three words perhaps. But yes, by all means, work on it. That'd be great. Okay? And also do it with an open heart too. Don't do it because your wife gave it to you and what does she know? But like, hey, she's my number one advisor. Okay? And I find that when I get input from my wife and honor it, I succeed. And when I don't, I fail. I mean, it's absolutely crystal clear in my life. If she's not on my side working with me, giving me input and me honoring it, I fail in that endeavor. So she is always the first person I go to for input. So make sure that that's your heart's attitude. I cherish this. This is God's number one gift to me, is her insight, because she sees the world from a different set of eyes than I do. And I honor that and say, Lord, show me the pride in my life. Show me the rebellion that's there. That needs to be your prayer, okay? All right, that's good. Anybody else want to bounce anything off? Yes. You're what?
Abstaining.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure you need to know that, but that's okay. Go ahead. Okay.
Well.
Okay, this is... Yeah, this is a whole lot more information I need to know. All you had to do is say lust and sexual sin, and I would say, yep, that works for me. Yep. Okay. But just give me the words. Don't not the whole story. Fear. Okay, fear. Yep, that's another good one too. Fear of stuttering and whatever else might be wrapped with that. Performance orientation, perfectionism, inferiority, any of those could be wrapped with it pretty easy. So you could go with that also, all right? And either one of those. I'd pick one of the two, and I'd go with one of the two for today, all right? Anybody else want to bounce off what they got?
That's the question. You said that you could mix and match
yep.
groups.
Right.
Would you suggest that, or would you suggest, like if you had fear and rejection and financial lack, is that like too much to tackle in one day?
Tell me what you have written down, and I'll...
I have like 7 words.
Give me the 7 words you have written down.
And that all seems right. like too much to tackle maybe in one day.
Well, it could be or could not be. You know, it depends. Is your financial lack based in your fear? Is that why you lack financially? Because you don't take jobs and they're offered to you? You don't reach for the higher positions because you're afraid of me failure?
No, I think that, it's not financial lack in the terms of not having a lot of money. It's having not a lot of residual at the end.
Okay.
I think because of fear of, you know, we give too much money away because I'm afraid that people will think differently if I...
If you don't give a... So the whole root of your financial problem is fear.
I think it might be.
Okay, well, I'd make fear a primary focus.
Okay.
And then your financial thing is a secondary focus, okay. But the heart of it would be your fear issue, your cluster with fear, of words with fear,
okay.
Which you had 3 or 4 in that area.
And then, like, performance orientation is not really clustered in that? Or no?
Could be.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know what's going on inside your heart. It could easily be.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody else want to bounce off the 3 or 4 words they've got just to make sure that it's a solid foundation they're going to work on for the day here? Because I want you working on something solid. I don't want you wondering if you got something solid here. I don't mind taking a few minutes here. Yes? High blood pressure. See, that's the... Yeah, that... So what do you have written on your sheet? What do you have written on your sheet? Okay, I don't think I put high blood pressure down because that's an outworking of something else. And I'd rather get to the root of whatever is causing that. I mean, if it's high blood pressure is there because of pressure and tension and stress, then I would put pressure, tension, and stress. If it's there because you're eating the American diet, then I would put slap myself silly and get off the American diet, okay? Because the American diet will produce high blood pressure, okay? And heart, you know. So I would not put high blood pressure down. I would work with a heart attitude. I would do an attitudinal thing, okay? And I would work with that instead, okay? Arteries get harder. The American diet wounds the artery walls. If you have enough B6, B12, and folic acid in your system, you will not get hardened arteries, and you will not get clogged arteries, okay? So though that can be dealt with through an oral chelation like MegaChel available through Nature Sunshine, I took it for 18 months, all right, and now I take heart assurance from Nature Sunshine. I went in last year and had my arteries checked, and they were clean, totally clean, all of them. I went to a life screening, it's called, you know, and that was remarkable, okay? So that can all be cleaned out through some natural means. So, you know, the book Go Natural is going to give you some ideas there, and email me for some more if you want. But I wouldn't put that as a heart wound that we're going to work on today. So look for something else. Ask God for something else. Yes? Family issues. Well, what is your heart response to this? How does your heart respond? What emotion does your heart have? Anger, hatred, bitterness, inferiority, insecure. Okay, we're looking for a heart attitude that you battle with all the time, not sometimes overwhelmed, because sometimes anything can overwhelm you. But what is a persistent thing that you battle with all the time on a regular basis? But not family. What's that? Yeah. What do you feel when you are in the midst of a family issue? What is the emotion that you feel? What is the emotion that you feel? Overwhelmed. You feel overwhelmed. That could be one. False responsibility. Do you take... How about false responsibility, overwhelmed, resentment? Those might be words. Stress and pressure. Maybe there's 3 or 4 or 5 words that you might work with as your cluster for today. All right, anybody else want to have a... Diane?
Well,
Just give me the three words. Don't know creepy.
I wrote down three things, but I'm not sure if this is what you're telling me. Failure, hopelessness, and rejection.
That's a good cluster. I'd work with that. Sounds like kissing cousins to me. Anybody else got something they want to work? They want to bounce off me? Yes, they sound fine. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Yes? Real loud, a little bit louder. Yep, rejection, doubt, fear, and financial lack. That'd be a good cluster to work on. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to make sure that what you've got is good and solid to work with? Yep.
I got fear, anger, rejection, pride, and rebellion.
All right, fear, anger, rejection, pride, and rebellion. That'd be fine. You might have two clusters. I'm not sure. You might put pride and rebellion in a second cluster and do it a different day, and might do the, you know, possibly. I don't know. Just ponder that. All right. Yes. Okay. Just share them. I would put those as a cluster, and I would work with that. That'd be a great cluster. Okay. All right. Anyone else want to bounce anything off? Because basically you're not putting any action words down there. You know, you're putting attitude words. Attitude, not actions. So if you have action words on there, you want to get those off and replace them with attitudes. Because heart is underlying attitudes, underlying motivations, underlying character traits. That is my wife's definition for heart. Wife, yes. And that's the best definition I've ever heard for heart. Underlying attitudes, underlying motivations, underlying character traits. So that's what we're doing in prayers that heal the heart. So we're looking on your list. You should have attitudes, motivations, and character traits is primarily what you should have there. Okay. All right. Anyone else need to bounce anything off us? Yes, go ahead.
Depression, hopelessness, despair, anger.
Yeah, that's...
Could we add pride in there? Or
well, you could, you know, because, you know... the pride could be contributing to the depression, you know. I mean, I don't know. If you feel it does contribute, I'd throw it in. And if you feel it's a separate issue, we could do it as a separate one another week, you know. Okay, sounds good. Anybody else? All right. Because since we're spending the whole day on this, I want you to start with a solid foundation. That's what I want here. Okay? All right. Okay, here we go then. We're going to pray. Now, we have a prayer here on the bottom, page 8. All of these prayers are going to be three-step prayers. The Bible says if we confess our sins and forgive, that God cleanses us. So the first step is always confession of sin. Second step is forgiving. And the third step is action. All right. So in each of the prayers that we do, you'll have those three steps. So I'm going to lead you through the prayer. In this particular prayer, I'm just show you what's there. I confess and repent for the sin of my ancestors. See, you can confess. David said who confessed the sins of their ancestors? Yeah, Daniel. That's the person I'm looking for, right? He prayed and repented of the sins of his ancestors. So you can repent of your own sin and the sins of your ancestors. You're removing legal rights is what your repentance is doing. It's removing legal rights, so you can definitely do that. So you're confessing and repenting of the sins of your ancestors, your parents, and of your own sin. Okay, and on that line again, you'd put down the same three or four words. You'd abbreviate them. Just put the first letter down if you want to. And of my anger and resentment against you, God, for allowing this to happen. Because sometimes we get mad at God. And if you've gotten mad at God, that's fine. God can handle it. He doesn't fall off his throne. He understands this, you know. But you do need to process your anger and say, God, I repent for the anger I have towards you. I ask forgiveness, and I turn away from that. Because it's hard to get healed by God when you're holding them up at an arm's distance. So if you are mad at them, you have to tell them that and say, I'm sorry, and I want you to come back close, all right? I want to come back close to you. And the number two, I forgive and release my ancestors, so I'm not bitter at them because they dumped this into my genes, for passing on this sin to me and for the resulting curses. And I ask you to forgive me, God, and I receive your forgiveness, and I forgive myself. See, that's really important to forgive ourselves, because a lot of times we get angry at ourselves and say, what an idiot moron, you know? And if you're mad at yourself... See, the Bible says we have to forgive everything against everyone, which means you've got to forgive yourself. Because if you don't forgive everything against everyone, he turns you over to the tormentors, which are demons. So if you are harboring bitterness towards yourself and say, I hate myself, well, then you've opened yourself up to demons. God says you're now turned over to demons. So you can't hate yourself and you can't hate anybody else. You've got to love yourself. And you got to love everybody else. You got to let it all go. Yes, I'm imperfect. Yes, I make mistakes. And so people around me, and they make mistakes. Who cares? God doesn't. He said, so you just come, let the blood cleanse you, and press on. That's all it is. Okay? Yeah, you would if you were, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the third part of the prayer is an action part in each of these prayers. And this action, in this particular prayer, is I'm going to place the cross of Christ between my ancestors and myself. I'm going to see myself as a baby in my mother's womb, and I'm going to command the sin energies of whatever these words are, anger, hatred, rage, whatever you're working on, and all accompanying curses to be halted at the cross of Christ, and for freedom and release to flow down from that cross to the baby in the womb. Now, I want to talk about this third prayer for a few moments and help explain it to you. Here's what I believe is true. I believe that a prayer is more effective when it's more specific. Okay? That's one principle. I believe the prayer is more effective when you apply it at the point where the hurt happened. For example, I'm now 54. I can look at my dad and say, Dad, you know, my mind's eye, my prayer. I say, Dad, I forgive you for what happened, what you did to me in the barn at age 12, you know. And as a 54-year-old man, I can forgive him. That's one way of forgiving him. The other way of forgiving him is I can go back, picture myself as a 12-year-old boy in the barn looking up at Dad and saying, Dad, I forgive you for what just happened. Which do you think is deeper? One or two. The second one, it'll have a much greater effect and impact on my life. So when we use the language of the heart, which is pictures, and I go back and enter the scene, the picture, and look from the scene and offer the prayer there, it's much deeper. It's then a heart prayer as opposed to a head prayer. Because in this head, you know, I wasn't, you know, so I'm saying go back to the point where the hurt happened, apply the prayer to that point. It's a very important principle, which I think will help you a lot in making your prayers more powerful. So, at what point did you and I pick up generational curses from our mom and dad? At conception and in the womb, okay? So we're going to say, let's go back to that point. We're in the womb, little baby. We're going to picture ourselves in our mind's eye as a little baby in the womb. And here's a flow of energy, negative energy streaming towards us. Negative energy, curses, sin energy flowing towards us. We want to stop it. What's going to stop that flow of negative energy? The cross of Christ. The curse halts at the cross of Christ. So I say and picture, I place the cross of Jesus Christ between me as a baby in the womb and all generational sins and curses are flowing towards it. I command it to hit the cross, fall to the ground powerless at the foot of the cross, and I release that baby from those curses right now. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. So I say it, I see it, I tune to flow, and what do I feel emotionally? What am I seeing? I'm looking for flowing pictures, and I'm saying it, all right? Flowing emotions. So that's the way we pray this prayer. So I want to lead us in this prayer, and this is the steps that we're going to be going through. We're going to pray the prayer twice, once from the father's side of the family and once from the mother's. I'll take you through it both times. So we're going to cut off stuff from both sides. And when I say things like, I place the cross of Christ there and command the curse to hit the cross, I'm going to repeat it several times. Because the language of the heart involves repetition. If you look at the Psalms, which are heart prayers, he repeats the same phrase over and over and over several times in the Psalm. And how often do you repeat it? Till your heart says, got it. All right? So you know, and when you're in prayer, you just keep praying it and seeing it and tune the flow. And when your heart says, bingo, it's there, I see it, I'm free now, then we're done and we go on to the next prayer. Okay? So that's the way we do it. Yes? You were adopted. So this prayer is going to be with you between you and your original parents, whom you may or may not know. Doesn't make any difference if you know them. It's between you and them. The next prayer on soul ties will be between you and your adopted parents. Okay?
I don't see how the ancestors affect it. I see how the soul ties affect it.
Well, the verses we just covered, since the parents are passed on.
I understand that. I guess what I'm saying is that my perception is that the root cause from the generations is slightly different from what the effect it had on me. My perception is that the generational curses is more related to judgment and condemnation, which I don't see in me. I have the
What do you have in you?
I have fear, doubt, insecurity, and performance orientation related to the harsh judgments.
Okay. Was fear, doubt, and performance orientation in either your mother or your father or your grandparents on either side? Did you see those traits in either, any of them?
Yeah.
Okay. That's being passed down. It came from them to you. I mean, that's one of the places you got it. You may have also got it from judgments you made against your parents because of the way they treated you.
I see it more from the soul tire.
What is that?
Specific thing with my brother, not my parents.
Okay, well, it's you see, we don't have to choose which of the seven prayers we're going to pray. We're going to say you got a piece of it from all seven places. And we're going to deal with all seven pieces so that you're not half free, but you're totally free. Now, you may have got the stronger piece from what you're thinking. You got it from this one, the second prayer. That's great. Then the second prayer we'll pray with twice as much emphasis. And that's fine if you got twice as much from there. But that doesn't mean you didn't get some from here too. And we're saying, let's get it all. Let's get it all. Let's pray all seven prayers. It takes an extra 2 minutes to pray this prayer. Let's pray it. Get rid of that strand too. Okay? All right. Okay, let's pray. And I'd like to lead you in this prayer so you can repeat this after me. We're going to... Well, let me just pray this first, and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Father, we just ask that you would anoint this prayer time. We offer you our hearts. We offer you our minds. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and make this real. We ask that you grant us access before the throne room of God, that we may see Jesus, we may see the power of Calvary, and that you may apply that to our lives right here, right now, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that, and we open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to do that in Jesus' name. I'd like you to see yourself as a baby in your mother's womb. Holy Spirit, we ask that you give each one of us a picture of ourselves as a baby in our mother's womb. Tune to flow and just see what picture pops into your mind and accept that and go with that. And I'd like you to say this. Dad, I forgive you
for
anything negative
that was passed from you to me.
I choose to release you
and to honor you
and to bless you
in Jesus' name.
And I place the cross of Jesus Christ between me as a baby in my mother's womb and all generational sins and curses that are flowing from the father's side of the family. I command them to hit the cross of Christ and fall to the ground powerless. At the foot of the cross, I command all generational sins and curses flowing from the father's side of the family to hit the cross of Christ, to fall to the ground powerless at the foot of the cross. And I release that baby. In Jesus' name, you are set free. You are set free. You are set free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. I receive that freedom. I pray for the blessings of Calvary to cascade down over that baby. And I bless you with life. I bless you with joy. I bless you with peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And just look at the scene. Just look at the scene for a moment. And you just watch. I'm just going to pray it one more time. And you just kind of look. And Father, we place the cross of Calvary. And you just watch and rather than say it. We place the cross of Calvary between that baby in the womb and all generational sins and curses flowing from the Father's side. We command it to hit the cross of Christ, fall to the ground powerless at the foot of the cross, and we release that baby.
We set you free, we set you free, we set you free. In Jesus' name, you are free right now. You are free in Jesus' name just to leap for joy, to dance for joy, because Jesus has set you free right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And we bless you with life. We bless you with life. We say, come alive with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just come alive with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we're going to do it from the mother's side of the family also. And say, Mom, I forgive you.
I forgive you.
And I choose to release you.
And to honor you.
And to bless you.
In Jesus' name.
I place the cross of Christ
between me
as a baby in your womb
and all generational sins and curses
that were flowing from you to me.
I command them to hit the cross
and fall to the ground powerless at the foot of the cross.
In the name of Jesus,
I command all generational sins and curses
flowing from my mother's side of the family
to hit the cross of Jesus,
to fall to the ground powerless at the foot of the cross,
and I release that baby in the womb.
I release you.
I release you.
I release you.
In Jesus' name,
those whom the Son sets free
are free indeed.
And I pray for the blessings of Calvary
to cascade down over you.
I bless you with life,
with life,
with life.
In Jesus' name,
come alive,
come alive,
come alive.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And just use the eyes of your heart. Just look and just see that all happening. Just see it all happening.
Father, we thank you that you're the healer of our hearts. We thank you that you turn darkness into joy. We thank you for the release that you've given into our hearts and lives this day as we sought you and ask you in simple childlike faith to intervene in our behalf. Thank you, Father, for that. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
If you were able to see some of this, and feel some things happen, some good things happen, would you say Amen? Okay. Now, if you would be willing to share a testimony, we're just going to take a couple of testimonies that tell us what you saw and what you felt as the Lord ministered to you.
As I was watching when I first saw myself in the womb, I saw it as like a black and white ultrasound picture. And as the curses were halted at the cross, it took on color and life. And then it was the real color of a baby and the real color of clear fluid in the womb. And it was awesome.
Hallelujah.
After we got through everything, I saw inside the womb, with the baby inside the womb, but it was being held in the Father's hands, and the curses were kind of being held back by like a force field or something like that, and the baby was at rest, whereas before it was restless.
Amen. All right, let's give her a hand. Thank you. Amen.
Initially, I saw myself in both prayers curled up in the womb in the fetal position. But as the curse was broken, as we prayed, I saw myself getting up and walking out of the womb.
Thank you. Well, that works. Amen. Okay. All right. We'll take one or two more, and then we're going to go on to the next one. Start with you, and then pass it back to the lady.
Okay. This morning, I woke up at 4:30, And what he had said last night was heavy on my mind about praying and asking God to show me what was the thing that he wanted to heal me in. And I was conceived as an act of adultery. And what God showed me was my moment of conception. It was done in fear, guilt, and shame. And so whenever he were praying a prayer over me, I saw the sperm and the egg. And just as it met, I saw the cross of Christ right there. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And there were all of these powerful words hitting the cross. And as they would hit the cross, they would crumble up into a pile and turn into dust. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm adopted also. And when you were speaking the word, I saw my mother. Now, I never wanted to know who she was. My husband has had dreams of my father, but not of my mother. And in this, I saw my mom standing and watching my father's ship leave. He was in the military. And she was dressed in a muumuu. And she felt anger and frustration and bitterness. But that seemed to leave her as you were praying. And then she made a resolution that she was going to give me life. She wasn't going to abort me. And I saw the baby in the womb sucking the thumb. And there was life. There was hope there.
All right. Thank you for these testimonies. These are great. And if you didn't experience anything quite that big, that's okay. Everyone's different. And there's no reason you can't go back to any one of these prayers, and I encourage you to, in the weeks to follow, go back to all of them and just do it again and just deepen it and push it out and make sure you're relaxed and in flow and tuned to flowing thoughts, flowing emotions, and just pray it again and deepen it. It never hurts to deepen a prayer. Amen? Let's say that together. It never hurts to deepen a prayer. Amen. Okay. All right, we're going to go on to prayer number two then. Prayer number two. All right, the first strand is broken, which was generational sins and curses. Number two, top of page 9, ungodly soul ties stem from unhealthy covenant or contractual relationships and transfer sin energies from one to another. So definition of a soul tie. When you enter into a covenant with another person or with God, a soul tie develops, which allows the life, the energies, and the provision of those two to be shared. The following would be considered soul ties: a close, committed relationship, a soulmate, or a bosom buddy. These are all examples of soul ties. Now, a biblical example of a soul tie follows. It came to pass that when they had made an end to speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was what?
Knit.
Underline the word knit. To the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So these two were bosom buddies. They were close friends. So anyone that you that's a bosom buddy to you, a really close friend, you have a soul tie with that person. Your souls are knit. The way I see this, and by way of a picture, is I will see a wire between me and that person. All right? And energy flows between the two of us. Spiritual energy flows across that wire. And what should happen in a godly soul tie is we pass the life of the Lord Jesus Christ back and forth. And in an ungodly soul tie, we're passing something negative back and forth. Like if I get together with a coffee clutch of people who are just gossipers, and I'm a gossiper, we get together and we spew evil and negativity back and forth, and we have an ungodly soul tie, and we're passing gossip. Maybe scorn and sarcasm. Since sarcasm is a thing I work with, fight against, I may find that I build a relationships with people who are sarcastic, and we just feed sarcasm, which is really disdain, dishonor, you know, which is contrary to Scripture, because you're supposed to honor all men, all right? So that's why I feel I need to overcome that and stop doing that. But we could be passing sarcasm and scorn and dishonor back and forth to one another. And so now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's that wire between us, and we're just passing this negative thing back and forth. Now, I've built ungodly soul ties with different groups of people. I'm an avid reader, and so I can build it with an author. Because when I read it, find an author I like who's ahead of me, I say, I want to soak up his spirit. And I will usually buy everything he's written, and I will pull into me his spirit, his understanding, so I can stand on that and go forward. So I have a soul tie with that person. 20 years ago when I learned a counseling method, which was called a Christian counseling method. It was from a gentleman who came up with nouthetic counseling, which is a Greek word in the New Testament, which is kind of admonish. And I said, that is my style of countering. Hit the guy in the nose and tell him, you like this. This is good for you, you know? And after a while, I realized that's not the best kind of counseling. I would, you know, people are already slapping themselves silly. I want to hug them and help them do inner healing, deliverance, and a few other things. So I had to sever the ungodly soul tie between me and him because I don't need to punch people anymore. I already have enough punchiness inside of me without his punchiness being added to mine. So I cut the ungodly soul tie between me and him so his spirit could not flow to me. A number of years ago, I was getting negative. And I was reading the getting negative about the government and a few other things. You heard some of my journaling. And I was reading the Patriot Movement. They're on the internet. You can type it in at Google, but don't do it, all right? And find out who these guys are. These are guys who hate the government, all right? They're afraid of the government. They believe it's big. They believe it's powerful. They believe it's evil. And they believe the best recourse is to buy a home in the woods, get a machine gun out, and anybody who crosses your property, especially a government officer, just kill them on the spot, you know? I said, that works for me. That's my philosophy of life, you know? Just hide in a hole, you know, prophesy gloom and doom and shoot anybody who comes on my property. Now, after moving with them for 6 months or a year, I found I was getting more and more negative and more paranoid and more fearful. How many know it's really hard to disciple nations when you got a machine gun and you got a little, you know, piece of land in the wilderness, you know? I said, I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm not growing in faith. I'm growing in fear. And I said, I don't want to be a mighty man of fear. I want to be a mighty man of faith who changes the world. And so I cut the ungodly soul tie between me and them. I said, no more offense. No more reading of their stuff. And I sever. I took the sword of the Spirit in my hand, and I cut the ungodly soul tie between me and them. And I don't read them, and I don't have their fear anymore. All right? And I've turned away from that because that was a wrong direction that I took for a number of years in my life. So those are a couple examples. Another example of an ungodly soul tie, when I was in college, had a Greek professor who was anti-charismatic. And I was anti-charismatic at that point in my life. And he would scorn and ridicule and tell stories about the charismatics during Greek class. And I would just say, go get them. Yes, yes, yes. They are morons, aren't they? You know? And so I built an ungodly soul tie with him. I had to cut the ungodly soul tie between me and my Greek professor, all right? Because he fed me a negative spirit, okay? So those are some examples of ungodly soul ties that come through close bonded relationships. Yes? Yeah, they can refer to relationships which are no longer in existence, but which were there and you've never cut the ungodly part. Because everything continues on in the spirit realm until we do something about it, okay? If the person's deceased, you still should sever it, I think. Because, you know, deceased means you went on to another mode of reality, but you're still alive, basically, just in another mode, all right? So it still can be a relationship there. Should these be related to the heart wound that we're healing today? Yes, I would primarily make this list related to this heart wound. And then next month when I do another list, another Contributing Strands worksheet, I'd do another list and do all seven prayers again with another heart wound. And so you may go through this whole prayer sequence three or four or five times because you may have three or four or five heart wounds. And once every month you go through another one and clean up another one, do your concordance study, wall it off, and then go on to another area and get victory there. That's what I would do. Yes. Can you? Can I what? No. This is your prayer work. These are prayers that we pray for ourselves. Everybody, I think everyone has to do their own prayer work primarily. Okay. That's what I would suggest. You can intercede for him, for the Holy Spirit to convict him that he wants to go through this and say, I'd like to send you. You know what I do to make a person thirsty? I share a story. You know, here's my battle, here's where I was, and here is where God took me. And hopefully, if I shared the story well and the Holy Ghost was riding on it, the person would say, I would like that. Could you teach me how to do that? So that's the kind of approach I would use, and get him to say, can you send me the information? You say, yes, and you buy another book, so I'm rich. No, excuse me, just buy another book, and you send it out to him, and make sure, yeah, if one book would make me rich, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? And then you get this in his hands, and the cassettes and the CDs, and have him work through it. That's the process that I would know, all right? Yes? Yes, you can break the soul tie, because you're only breaking the ungodly aspect of the soul tie, not the godly aspect. Like in a marriage relationship, with, you know, there's a soul tie there, obviously, hopefully it's godly, but there could be an ungodly. Let's say I tried to dominate, manipulate, and control my wife. At that point, that part of my relationship with her would be ungodly. And she would kill me. Yes, that's exactly right. She said, get away from me. And when you want to act like a mature person, come back. You know, I mean, she just wasn't into being dominated because she thought she was actually a person, you know. And so I had to readjust my thinking. Oh, I'm married to a person, not a thing. Okay, so in our marriage, I can have a godly aspect to it and an ungodly aspect. We would only sever the ungodly aspect, not the rest of it. Could it? Yeah, I think if I had an addiction to food or cigarettes, I probably wouldn't put it in the soul tie category. I'd probably use some of these other prayers with that. Yeah, I'd find the root of it. You know, why do I need to eat chocolate? Well, it's because it's in heaven, you know, and it's one of the primary food groups, okay? I mean, gold chocolate in heaven, yes, okay. So, but, you know, if I have an addiction to food or something, I mean, I'd want to know, why do I have an addiction? Now, chocolate, I mean, your body does love it, okay? And it's good food for the soul. I mean, it produces endorphins, and it also lowers blood pressure. I got sort of several scientific studies proving that dark chocolate is healthy. They're on my computer. I can email them to you if you're wondering, okay? But if I'm a compulsive eater and, you know, it's an addiction or something, I would look to, ask why. What is the heart attitude behind behind this action? Because we're talking action, and I'm not praying to heal actions. I'm praying to heal the heart attitudes underlying the action. Then the action will go away when the heart attitude is left. Okay? So we go one step deeper. Yes. Okay, we'll start here. Go ahead.
Ungodly sexual relationships outside.
Yep, we're going to, yeah, sex is right here, okay? It's two verses down. Let me just cover these. I'll come back to questions, all right? Is that yours? Okay. Can you have more than one person? I would assume you'll have between 20 and 35, okay, on your list. And if you have less than that, then you need to pray more, okay, and get the rest of them, okay? All right. Which means you're going to spend an hour or so processing this on... For today, let me just finish teaching and I think I'm going to answer the rest of your questions, okay? Next verse down in the middle of page 9, column 1. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Whenever you have a covenant contract, included in that will be a soul tie. All right, so soul ties can be bosom buddies or people you have covenant contracts with, which could be your employer, your spouse, because a marriage contract is a covenant. When you sign an employment agreement, that's a covenant. When you're a child, you have a covenant with your parents to honor and respect them. If you join a church, you have a covenant contract. So if that pastor would become domineering, manipulating, and controlling, that at that point that relationship would become ungodly. You would need to sever that ungodly aspect of the relationship. Not necessarily the rest of it, but that part would need to be severed. Those are examples of contractual relationships. We'll give you more in a moment. The next one is, do you not know that he who is joined with a harlot is one body, for the two have become one flesh? So whenever anyone we've had a sexual relationship with, we will have a soul tie with that person. So any sexual relationships outside of marriage would be ungodly soul ties. Each one would need to be severed. So you would list the person, not by name, just X, Y, or Z. All right, this is quiet information, and you would sever, take the sword of the Spirit and cut the ungodly soul tie between you and that person. If you've had a fantasy sexual relationship, I would also cut that ungodly soul tie between me and that person in that case also. All right? Now, some examples. Other examples of covenant relationships include husband, wife, parent, child, pastor, parishioner. Those are contracts. Teacher, student. That's a contract. Employer, employee is a contract. A Christian to all others in the body of Christ by virtue of the fact that we're baptized into Christ's body and are joined to his spirit. So we all have soul ties amongst us. Now, I do not worry about that soul tie, the one that came through the fact that you're baptized into Christ's body and I'm baptized into Christ's body. Because it's going through Jesus Christ, so I think he's going to purify it, so I don't have to worry about it, okay? Now, if I have a personal relationship with you and you're dumping on me, I may want to sever something there. But, you know, if you never met me and I lived in Buffalo, I don't think you have to sever that soul tie there, okay? Any of the above soul ties can become ungodly and release sin energies. Ungodly soul ties exist when one partner seeks to dominate, manipulate, or control the other. Would you underline those three words? Domination, manipulation, and control. If that shows up in a relationship, at that point, that part of the relationship is evil, because how many of you know God is not a dominator? All right? He gave us free will. He gave the disciples free will. You know, when people were leaving him by the hordes because he said, you've got to eat my body and drink my flesh. He did not say to his disciples, demonstrate your loyalty by standing next to me. I demand it. He said, what instead? He said, do you want to go? Do you want to leave? That's total freedom. You are free to go and it will not be considered, you know, what would they consider it? Rebellion. You know, a domineering pastor would consider that rebellion. If you leave, that's rebellion. Well, he didn't. No, he gave him freedom to go. So, I hate dictatorships, you know, unless, of course, I'm in charge, and it's a little bit different. But other than that, yeah. You know, if a person tries to manipulate and control me, I'm just going to say no. You know, I'm not going to tolerate that. It's not who I am, okay? My wife does the same thing. She says no, too. All right, I did try to dominate her because I grew up in an authoritarian household, so I was going to try that with my wife. She said, get a life. Get away from me. What's wrong with you anyway? So she would take none of that, which was very good, all right? And I finally matured as I grew up. All right, next three words. If violence, fear, or abuse becomes a part of the soul tie, it's ungodly. Underline those three words, violence, fear, or abuse. If that shows up, at that point, the relationship is ungodly. The soul tie is ungodly, okay? The next top of the next column. What can be passed through a soul tie? The answer would be anything. So just jot down anything in that line, if you will. And then we have a question, personal application. Lord, with whom do I have ungodly soul ties, close relationships or covenants that are contributing to the heart issue of, now you can abbreviate those three or four words and just put the, that you're working on today, just put the first letter in there of your heart wound that you're working on today. So who do you have an ungodly soul tie with that's contributing to that issue? Examine parents, authority figures, teachers, pastors, close friends, and spouse.